Hello, ladies. It's Karen McCoy, McCoy Fitness and Health. That was our very own local boy, Jesse Roper. I love that man. Just thought I would give you a little bit of music because I haven't quite figured out the music on this webinar software, but I'm here and it's happening, and I just want to thank all you guys for coming on board. I see we've got actually quite a few of you, so it's nice to see. Some of you I recognize, some of you I don't. What I've done, ladies, just so you know, is I have muted you all. I've muted you because it tends to keep a little bit of the background noise out when we have a lot of women on the line. So I hope that's okay with you guys. I am going to have at the end, we'll have questions. I'll tell you how to do it. It's real, real easy. I'd like to hold the questions till the end if we can, because I just want to make sure that we get through everything tonight, okay? So let me just introduce myself. Most of you guys know me, but I see a bunch of people I don't know. So I'm Karen McCoy, and tonight we're doing my top 10 tips on training and eating for the 40-plus woman. You know, I figured it was just time. We're heading into a new year. Not only that, but we are the biggest population group out there, women aged 40 to 55. I always say to my husband, be careful, the majority of the population are perimenopausal or menopausal, so mind your P's and Q's. A little bit about myself. I started lifting when I was 21 years old. I moved away from home in quite a hurry after high school, fled across the country, landed in Banff, and I went there for 6 weeks to ski, and I ended up staying for like 15 years. When I was there, I got bitten by the fitness bug because everybody around me, of course, you know, probably most of you guys have been through Banff. It is a training ground for athletes and outdoor sports, you know, extraordinaire. I biked, I skied, I ran, I swam. And I did that for a few years, and what I noticed was that, yes, I did lose some weight. I was a little bit of a chubby girl, about 140 pounds, so I was about 20 or 30 pounds overweight, and I was hoping to shed some fat, and I did that, but what I did notice, too, is that my body wasn't really shifting. I knew nothing about weight training. I didn't know anything about training at all, really. And I started going to the high school gym because that was the only gym in Banff where you could train because there wasn't a gym, so I went to the high school gym. I had the good luck of being able to train with the downhill female skiers, you know, the Karen Percy's and the women of that group. Not that I was friends with them. Believe me, I was at the other end of the gym. But it allowed me to have a bird's eye view of them training, and these young women were fantastic. It was my first ever look at women who were serious about training, and their training was to supplement their skiing. So I can't imagine how ferocious they were on the ski hill. But their training was something to be admired. And I also love their bodies. I love the way they moved. I love their focus. There'd be like 8 or 10 of them in the gym with their coach, and you didn't hear a word coming from them. They were just serious athletes. And it showed, and they really pushed heavy weights, and I was really impressed with that. So that was kind of my first little dip into, this whole weight training thing. And then my boyfriend at the time was a bodybuilder, and so he had put together a lot of his own equipment in our garage. So I would go down there, and I would sit on all the equipment and watch him train. Remember, I'm like 21 years old, 22 years old. And he had one of the Muscle and Fitness mags, so I'm sure some of you guys have still seen it. I think I have some of the first ever copies. And I'm going through the magazine. Of course, it's all filled with men. And I'm thinking, okay, but I get to the back page, and there's this little thumbnail picture of a woman, and she's in a pec deck, if you guys know what that is, right? It's where you're working your pecs. And her arms were stretched out, and she was pulling it in, and I could see all the muscles in her arms and her shoulders and her chest, and she was a model, and her name was Susie Green. I still remember. And I looked at that, and I went, wow. And my boyfriend said, what? And I said, look at this woman. And he said, well, you could do that. And I'm like, well, what do you mean I can do that? And he said, hey, all you have to do is train. And I said, yeah, but isn't it going to make me look like a man? He said, no. He said, you'll look more like a woman than ever. So I thought, okay, I'll start this weight training thing. I had no idea what I was doing. So I kind of picked around for the first, I would say, 18 months to 2 years. I followed his program. I think the first week I was so sore, I was almost vomiting because I didn't know. I was just so intense, and I didn't really know what I was doing. My eating didn't change or anything. I went into a gym when I went back home, and I remember walking into the gym because I went back home to visit. It was summertime or whatever. And the male fitness coach told me to leave. He told me that I was a diversion to the male clientele and that I shouldn't be in the gym. So that was like 35 years ago. I wonder where that guy is now, right? And I kind of tucked my bag under my arm and I left. So that was my first foray into weightlifting. I went back to my little place in Banff and my little gym in the basement, and I just kept training. I decided at the tender age of 30 that I would do my first show. We were living in Whistler at the time, and we came down to the island here in Victoria, and we went to Gold's Gym, which was on Blanchard, which is no longer there. I'm sure some of you guys remember. And I saw this little poster for a bodybuilding show, and it was about a week before my 30th birthday, and I said to my boyfriend, I'm going to compete. And I remember he looked at me, and he looked me up and down, and he said, really? And I went, well, yeah, I mean, I've been training with weights, why not? So I didn't know what I was doing. I just went through the magazines, and I was training 6 days a week. I was doing cardio 3 hours a day. So I was really overtrained, and that was the Gold's Classic, and it was bodybuilding because that's all there was at that time. So I went into the bodybuilding as a lightweight, of course, all of 110 pounds. I went from 140 down to 110 pounds. And I ended up winning. I won the lightweight, and I won the whole thing. So that kind of got the competing bug in me. And then after that, I went on to the Southern Albertans when I moved back to Alberta. And I won that lightweight, and then I went on to the Alberta Provincials. And I remember everybody saying, you can't win a provincial drug-free. And I went nuts to that. I've always been drug-free, and I've always promoted it. So trained my little butt off, and I went in, and I won that one as well. I won that overall. So it was a really interesting time. After that, the sport really changed. We saw a lot of big girls coming in. We saw the introduction of figure. Now we have physique. And so in my 40s, I took time off. I also had a lot of health issues. A lot of you guys know about my issues with my son. And so I didn't train for about 7 or 8 years. I had all sorts of, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and all sorts of nasty things that they really couldn't pinpoint. And I think it was really just my spirit was broken because he was diagnosed with an incurable disease. He's now in a wheelchair, but he's still rocking. But I took a lot of my 40s off. And then I decided, in my late 40s, things turned around. I got my head back on straight. My son was doing better, and I decided to get back into fitness again. So I went and got recertified. I started at the local gym, and I started back with, Windexing equipment at 6 a.m. and having to move all the stuff in and out. So I was really starting at the bottom again. But what I noticed when I was away and when I came back, that long spread of years, when I went to the gym, it was like everything changed, or I thought it had. All of a sudden, there were balls and bands and BOSUs. There was Zumba and jazzercise and spin, and I went, what the heck? And I started thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, everything's changed, and I wonder if what I do is still relevant. So I went to my boss, and I said, I want to start putting on weight training classes for women, because I know what my body changed like in the 40s, and I hadn't been training, and I saw the advances of age on my body, and I just knew that there'd be a lot of women my age trying to come back to regaining what they had lost. For me, I learned weights was the way to do it, because I had been doing it in my 20s and my 30s and now in my 40s. They told me I was crazy, it wouldn't sell, it was outdated, but go ahead. So I started my first class, and I think I had 2 people sign up, and it was a 6-week class. And I went, okay. So I said, I want to do it again. They're like, okay, fill your boots. So I did it again. Well, within about 9 months, I was running 6 classes a day, full on with 8 women. And what I realized was this was a market that was untapped, because what happened was everybody was moving away from the basics and getting into all the props. And I always say the focus shouldn't be on the props or the program, really. It should be on the person. And so we had more props available to us than ever. We had balls and bands, and we were doing all sorts of just crazy things with Swiss balls and med balls. But when I looked around, women's bodies weren't changing that much. And I went, something's missing here. And what I also noticed was that there was still a huge focus on cardio. And we're going to talk about that in the webinar. It was all about cardio. It was all about calories. And it still is to a lot of women. And that's also why I want to do this webinar, so we can start dispelling these myths forever. It's fine to do that when you're younger, but when you're older, it just doesn't hold water anymore. We can't go there because it's not serving us. If anything, it's degrading our metabolism. It's ripping the muscle off our body. It's weakening our thyroid, and it's sending us back in our goals. So this is what we're doing in our webinar tonight. I've got 10 top tips, and at the end, we'll open it up to questions. I decided to go back into competition a couple years ago, so at the tender age of 52, I went back into show, and I went into figure because bodybuilding is way beyond me now. It's just a sport that's way out in left field that is just something I can't even I can't fathom, but it's just gone its own route. So I went back into figure, softer look. I didn't go into my age category at all. I came third from the bottom, which was very enlightening for me. But that was a young woman's sport. So then I turned around, and in 2013, I went back into competition, and I went into the physique category, which is a new category. I knew if I could get in there fairly new, I would be okay, but I also knew the writing was on the wall. Physique's going to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think it's just going to take the place of bodybuilding, unfortunately, which seems to happen. But I went in, and I was with 9 other women. Again, no age category. They're like, well, you know, there's not enough women to split the age categories up, and no height category either. So here I am at 5'2" and 112 pounds at 53 years old, and I'm up against all these other women in their 20s and early 30s. But I came in third, and I was really, really happy with that. But what I noticed when I was in that show pre-contest, because when you're pre-contest and you're doing all that stuff, it's to the extreme, I could really see how my body operated at 50 compared to 40 and 30 and 20. It was way harder to lose the weight. I noticed all those years of not squatting and not working my glutes showed because I was saggy in spots that I never thought I was saggy. It was because I was carrying more weight, and so everything was fleshed out, right? But then I get down to about 12% body fat. It's like, uh-oh. So I was really able to take a good, hard look at my physique objectively and say, okay, this is where we need to start with as women over 40. So I have a lot of women saying to me, you know, do you only deal with women over 40? Well, no, I don't, but that's kind of my branding. And I have women that I train in their 20s and 30s as well. God bless them, because what they say is, wow, you know, if this is what we can do in our 40s and 50s, we best start now. So I say hooray to them, and I think that it's a brilliant move for these younger women to be getting into a sound program of training and eating, and I'm really blessed to have them all around me. So now we've got this huge volcano of everything coming out, and it's confusing women so much. I always say there's more info out there than ever, but info is not knowledge, and it's not experience. I would always take experience over science and over info. So we've got all sorts of different exercise regimes. We've got CrossFit, which I think we have to be leery of at our age. I would never do it, but you know what? I do use some of their moves. I think it's a really awesome workout for the right person with the right goals. But we've got labeled eating. We're into this clean eating thing. We're paleo. We're pescatarian. We're what else are we, guys? We're ketosis, which is high fat. We're low carb. We're doing shakes and supplements. We got our food apps on our phones. We got our training apps. We're counting macros. We're doing if it fits your macros, all sorts of crazy things. So what I want to do tonight is I want to get back to the basics with you guys. If you want, I will email you out my transcript from tonight as well, because I think it might be helpful. But all you guys are going to get my new ebook as well emailed out to you, so I think that will be really, really helpful as well. So I created McCoy Fitness and Health about 7 years ago. They're all my own programs based on what I know from training and eating through 4 decades of my life. It makes me sound really old. I'm actually 55, and I'm still at it, and I love what I do, and I hope to pass a lot of that knowledge on to you guys. So, shall we get started? All right. I am going to, let me just see here. I'm going to unmute my lovely support gal, Teresa, just in case there's anything going on. Teresa, you're nice and quiet, so that's great. So there you are.
Hi there.
Teresa helped me set this up, so some of you guys know her for sure. So, all right, let me get back to the slides. Okay, let's get rocking on this. Teresa, if you make noise, I'm going to mute you again. Okay, so as a 40-plus woman, we are the largest group of gym goers, but we are not being served. And I've seen this for years. I always say to my clients, don't let anybody put you through burpees. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do any more burpees, okay? We're not supposed to be doing burpees. So what I want you to consider is this. Is your current program serving you properly? Are you progressing? Do you have set goals? Are you able to see changes in your physique? Is your eating in line? There are so many different ways to go out there. And I have so many women say, what's the best way to train and what's the best way to eat? And I always say it depends on what your goals, it depends on your life, it depends on what you want. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But your current program has to address age, okay? That's why we're here, 40 plus, okay, 35 plus. I have women in their 20s and 30s, but mostly in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Sarcopenia, which is where the muscle comes off the body, is what happens after the age of 35 when our hormones shift. So when our hormones shift, it basically says, okay, you're not of childbearing age anymore. You don't need those happy hormones to create babies. So we're going to shut those down slowly over time. And when that happens, the muscle starts coming off the body. So you lose about 10 to 20% from 35 to early 40s. After the age of 15 or 50, you can lose up to 35% of your muscle if you're not keeping it on. It has to be area specific, guys. This is really, really important because I have women saying, but it's okay. I hike, I bike, I run, I walk. But that's fine for the legs to a certain extent, but it's only body weight. We need more because it's coming off our body, so we actually have to work harder to keep it on. I always say there's no standing still anymore. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. And so if we want to keep the muscle on our arms or our shoulders or our back, we have to specifically work that area. That's where weight training is very area specific. So we got 9 muscle groups and we have to hit each one of them. So that's why I say weight training ranks above all other exercises for older women. There's other issues as well. Metabolic issues. What's your history? At this place in the game, guaranteed you've got done some yo-yo dieting, you might have some metabolic issues, you might have a wonky thyroid, your adrenals might be a little tired. There's a lot of metabolic issues, and I see this a lot with women who suddenly have done years of cardio or have done years of yo-yo dieting, or they just haven't understood about proper eating. And what happens is their metabolisms get messed up. So they can't eat as much as they used to, or if they try to eat more to try to enhance their physique, they add weight. And the reason for that is their metabolism has adjusted and slowed right down. So we get into metabolic issues, and metabolic damage is just taking it to another degree where everything starts to go wonky and the organs and the hormones don't function like they used to. I'm not just talking to female hormones, but the hormones that regulate our bodies, our metabolic enzymes, our glucagon and our insulin, that kind of stuff. Hormonal issues, oh yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm knee-deep in menopause, and it's a little warm at times. But it can start around age 30, 35. I know some women start that young. Generally, it's the late 30s, but there are changes happening, and hormonal issues have to be addressed. If you are perimenopause or menopause and you're wondering why you can't lose the weight, hormones can have a lot to do with it. In this webinar, I can't really get into the ins and outs of hormone balancing, but I can tell you the two best things to balance are consistent exercise and quality eating. Really, really important, okay? Issues like injury and imbalances. Again, we don't get to this point in our life without having something go wrong. I've got a right shoulder, a right knee, and a left lower back that have been wonky for years. And I have to work around them. I have some women saying, oh, I can't train. I have scoliosis of the spine. Well, join the club. I mean, we all do. We all have something. And there's always a way around it. So our rule is, of course, don't work through, work around injury, right? injury or limitations, and we have them. But what I also see at this point is a lot of women are obviously tight in their joints because of lack of mobility, and I see this when we do overhead presses in the shoulders or when we try to get into a squat and they complain that their knees hurt. And it's generally not the knees issue, it's the hips or the ankles or both, and they're tight and the knees have to compensate. So we work on that as well. We bring that mobility back in, and weight training is one of the best ways to do it because we're using full range of motion, right? Medications and prescriptions, for sure they have an impact on the body, absolutely. One of the biggest, of course, hormone replacement therapy, if you're using the synthetic kind, will have a huge issue, usually weight gain that's stubborn and won't go off easily. But the other one is antidepressants. They don't know why. They don't even really know how they work. But what they do know is that they have an effect on the body where you can gain and hold on to excess weight. And it's a real challenge for some women. So just know that it's not your fault. But this is what some of the unique problems that our population group has to deal with. So what we'll delve into tonight, we're going to define your major, and it better be weights. I say that with love. We're going to minor in cardio. Yes, we're going to talk about that. We're going to have various workouts to choose from. The whole body workout is dead in the water, ladies. I don't want you doing a whole body workout. It's not serving you. We're going to talk about the glutes because we need to talk about those glutes, ladies. I've never had any woman in all of my years ever say to me, it's okay, I don't need to work my glutes, they're fine, right? So we're going to talk about the glutes, and they're near and dear to my heart because I didn't train them for 25 years. I never squatted, I never did specific glute work, and it showed, and I just didn't know any better, and it wasn't until I went back into show, and I went, uh-oh, okay, got to go back to the drawing board here. We're going to get real with your food. We're going to look at protein because women are still not getting enough. And then we're going to start going into our inner world a little bit. We're going to look at getting your brain on board, your beliefs. We're going to think and live outside the box. I call that living on the periphery. I want you to think differently. Don't think like the average person or you're going to have average results. And you're going to be stuck in that hamster wheel that the majority of women are stuck in, okay? We got to get out of that mindset. And then we're going to go a little bit into the law. So, all right, let's start. Find your major. I want you guys to find your major. When I see women going into the gym and they're jumping around from program to program or different exercise techniques. They're doing Pilates one day and CrossFit another, and then they're doing swimming, and then they're doing a little bit of weights, and then they're doing some jazzercise. It's great to keep moving, but is that what you want? If your goal is to do a bunch of things every week, then that's cool. But if your goal is to increase your metabolism, shed some fat, get lean and tight and toned and change your physique, if it's to build bone, then you have to major in something, and I would suggest that be weight training, okay? So you have to major in something and minor in something else. So it's kind of like liberal arts degree. I went to college for many years, and the kids who took liberal arts were always the ones that couldn't quite decide what they wanted. They kind of wanted a smattering of everything, okay? So if you're a liberal artist, that's great. But if you want to go into business, you have to get a business degree. So it's not a shotgun approach. It's a single bullet. So I want you guys to define your major. If you want to be a triathlete, your major is going to be running and swimming and biking. That is what you need to do. But if you want to change your physique and try to turn back the hands of time and to get strong and lean and tight and to learn to work with food, then that has to be the weight training. You have to major in that, okay? So it's all about defining your goals. What do you want? So defining what you want. I love this picture. We're going to get back to this. This is going to ruffle a few feathers. But anyways, there's the marathon runner on the left, and there's the sprinter on the right. We'll come back to that. Okay, so major in weights. Why do we want to? I'm assuming if you're on this call, and I know I see a lot of my clients on this call, so it's because we're majoring in weights, right? But for the rest of you listening, if you're a 40-plus woman, I've done it all. I've done a lot of the triathlete-type stuff, and then I got into weights. And I can tell you the changes in my physique and my ability to refuel and recover and build a strong immune system and to eat food again and not have to count calories, it lies in weight training. And that's where the freedom is, but it has to be the proper way. So What it does, it shapes, tones, and tightens, which we like. It increases our metabolism. Remember, where is your metabolism? Your metabolism is in your muscles, okay? It's really, really key that you keep that in the front of your mind. And so the more muscle you have on your body, the more little fat-burning furnaces you have on you. So there's kind of a little mathematical equation that says for every 5 pounds of muscle, you can burn anywhere from 200 to 300 calories a day. So it's not succinct. Everybody's different. But think about 5 pounds of ground beef, right? It's not a lot. You spread that on your body. But what it does is it's got all those little fat-burning furnaces in there. And so that revs you up. And so you're able to eat more, but you're also able to burn fat. Here's the deal with weight training as well. When you've got that added muscle on you, you're burning fat 24/7, okay? That's really, really key because when you do cardio, there's an afterburn of about 4 to 6 hours only, and then it's done, and then your body goes back to where it was. When you have that added muscle, you're burning 24/7, even when you sleep. So that's why us women who train with weights get to eat more, and we can lose weight faster because we have more muscle on our body, and that muscle helps the fat-burning process. So it's a win-win situation. Of course, as you know, it's all over the press. Weights help to build bone, and that's really important. But this is where the specificity, of weight training is really important, because what it does is you have to specifically work your arms or specifically work your back if you want to keep that backbone strong. The muscles have to pull on the bone, you see, because when muscles pull on the bone, then the bone has to harden up for the stress of it. It's being challenged. And so walking is not going to keep the muscles in your back strong. And so that is a real huge, or hips, and that's a real huge point for osteo. And so if you're going to do it, start on a weight training program where you hit the back and the chest and the shoulders and the arms and the hips with squats or lunges, that kind of stuff, right? So it's very area specific. The other problem with osteoporosis is that we have more intake of calcium than any other country in the world, but we have more rates of osteo. And the reason for that, again, I can't get into it a lot, but you need to alkaline your diet. The sodas, the pops, the milk, the juice, the alcohol, and the coffee, and the processed food, they're all acidic. And what they're going to do is they're going to draw the alkaline minerals from your bones because you're not feeding your body enough alkaline foods, which are your veggies, some of your meats, whatever is growing in the garden or the farmer's field. That's what we need to fill our body with to keep our bones strong, because it's not about the calcium tablets are not going to help if your diet is too acidic, okay? So weight training and alkaline your body. Levels hormones, I can tell you this, that's absolutely true. If I'm emotional or if I've got some menopausal stuff coming on, I go into the gym and I train and it levels me out. But it also levels out the sugars, you see, the cravings. And this is true for almost every woman that I have weight training. She always says, wow, you know, I crave good stuff now. I don't have the sugar highs and lows. That's because you're leveling insulin and glucagon, and they're responsible for keeping blood sugars level, even if your diet isn't that great. Okay, so it's really key. And of course, you know the other stuff that improves blood sugars I've just mentioned. Heart, lungs, manages stress, that's for sure. And it feels good. For me, weight training was a way for me to reclaim my power. There is something very empowering about going into the gym and asserting your will over that piece of iron and lifting it and completing on it. And I just love it because I lost myself for many, many years in a really chaotic childhood filled with addiction and all sorts of things, like a lot of you guys, right? And then going through all that stuff with my son where I lost myself, the gym was always my comfort. It was always my place where I could reconnect with my power, because us women are so pulled out of our power in so many ways, just with life in general and all of the challenges and stresses that we have to deal with. But we also put ourselves last always. And so the weight training and going into the gym, I always say, is one of the biggest acts of self-love you can do. I especially tell my HLPers in December to get in the gym. We've created a program 3 days a week, And it's only 3 hours a week. I'm asking for 3 hours a week out of 168 hours, but you need to make that commitment to yourself. So whatever kind of exercise program you're on, you need to stay committed, if only for self. Don't look at it like, oh, I got to fit this in, because you're never going to stay with it. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. You need to look at it like, this is what I'm doing for self-care. This is on my list. Okay, so we kind of change how we look at things, and we're reclaiming our power when we're moving our body and building this lovely vessel of ours, right? All right. A successful lifting program requires minimum 3 days a week, okay? So if you can get 3 days a week, great, but something magical happens with 4 days. Most of my women are on 5 days a week. Minimum 3+ hours a week. So if you guys want to carve it up, if you've only got 3 days a week, stay in there for an hour, so that's 3 hours a week. So as we progress and we get into more sophisticated workout programs, and we'll look at that in a little bit, then we can shave it down to 30 to 45 minutes. So it's still only about 3 hours a week. I want you ladies to train moderately heavy to heavy. What does that mean? It means more than body weight. Okay, so we're not doing plyometrics here. You will probably start there because it's hard to do a squat. You're going to start doing body squats and body lunges, and all my girls in my program know this. And I put them in every week when they're on the 10-week challenge. Every week, and they're like, well, why do we have to do them? We're doing upper body today. Because I want you to get good at them. I want you to increase your flexibility. And then we start adding on weight. So I see a lot of women in the gym just going through the motions or counting their reps to the exact rep. 15 reps, 20 reps. Don't even go to 20 reps, guys. It's not worth your while. You need to lower the reps, and you need to up the weight. And so this is really important that you write it down, because you need to know where you're at. And that way you can always take note, okay, I did a 15-pound dumbbell curl. Next week I'm going to try 17 and a half, okay? So you're always got to try to be progressing. Always try to be progressing. And it's really important that women understand that they do underestimate themselves when it comes to lifting weights. And just look around at other women. There's not many of us out there, but there's a few women in your gym that are really serious into pushing the envelope a little bit, and take a look at how they train and take a look at their physiques. It's very empowering. So the other thing is, you got to write it down, as I mentioned. Please write it down. You got to have support. You're in the gym, you're doing your thing, especially if you've got a training and eating program, you need to have that support. There are so many ways with the internet and all sorts of different Facebook and all that kind of stuff to have the support and have a community. It is up to the individual to use that support, but when you're in the gym and you're training for an hour with a coach and then all of a sudden you leave, and what happens to the other 23 hours? Make sure you're hooked in some way, or get a partner and go to the gym too. That's really, really empowering, and I see that in my programs all the time. The women that do really, really well are the women that train in partners, for sure. I want you guys to strive for progress, not perfection. And this is a big one for women, but honestly, I think at this age, we're starting to learn this. We're getting it. We are getting it. We just want to improve. So every time I go into the gym, it's about performance, and it's about doing the exercises right. It's about pushing myself and trying to get through really heavy leg workout or back workout, and it's about progressing. It's not about perfection. I was about perfection in my 20s and 30s for sure. I wanted the perfect bicep, and I wanted the perfect physique, and it was mind-numbing. I was not fun to be around. It really wasn't. And hopefully you guys are coming out the other end of that, and you're just in it for the health and the fun of it, right? A successful lifting program measures body fat. So I've got my little diagram there, and you can see it there. So honestly, most women that come to me are over 30%. It's really workable to get it below that, ladies. But when you start creeping up to 35, 40%, we got to worry about that. But most women are still on the scale, right? We still jump on the scale. How much do you weigh? And what I don't even care about the scale, but we do use it in my programs only because we need your weight to measure your body fat. And it is a good tool because we still can measure inches lost and pounds lost. But I'm more concerned about the importance of body fat, okay? That's really telling, because I can have a woman at 140 pounds and be 30% body fat, and she's very loose and not very strong, and her recovery isn't very good. And I can have the same woman at 20% body fat, and it's a totally different physique. It looks totally different. It behaves totally different. The performance is totally different, right? The metabolism is different. So I want you guys, wherever you are, to always stay on top of your body fat. Now, I kind of say, you know, try to do it every few months or so. Don't do it every day, okay? No more OCD stuff. But it is a good thing to keep in check. And you guys know with your clothing, right, whether things are getting tight or whatever. But it can still, your clothes can still wear the same, but your body fat might be increasing, and your body mass, your muscle might be decreasing. We don't want that to happen. It will happen if you don't include weights. It will. If you're a runner, and if you're a swimmer especially, they have the highest body fats because their sport dictates it. Remember the goals we were talking about earlier? Their goal is to be a runner or a swimmer, and their body becomes extremely efficient, but it also means higher amounts of body fat. But if you're not a runner and a swimmer and you're into weight training because you want to shift that up and you want to change the landscape, as I call it, under the skin, the body fat to muscle ratio, then you need to keep on top of your body fat. And there's so many different machines. The Omron 305 is what I use. You can get that online at Amazon, Omron, O-M-R-O-N. And it's a handheld, and I use it with all my girls. I carry it with me. Sometimes I'm in a restaurant, and I'll have a client sitting, you know, a few tables over, and she'll whisper to me, "Do you have your body fat machine?" And we go into the bathroom, and we do the body fat. Like, it's so versatile. There's a lot more expensive machines, but I find this one really good. And honestly, whatever machine you use, just stay with the same one because they all vary. But all you want to see is you want to see it go down. Hopefully you want to see it go down. I don't see a lot of women wanting to increase their body fat, right? All right. Minor in cardio, ladies. This is really, really important. And I'm going to hammer this home to you guys. Stop being a cardio queen. This is really important, especially for older women. And I see women going into the machine or into the gym, and they'll get on the machine, and they'll be on the elliptical or the Stairmaster for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and then they'll go do a little bit of weights, right? So what's happening when you're doing cardio, excessive amounts, how much is excessive? Well, I don't know. It depends on you. I think if you're doing every day for 30 minutes, that's excessive. But again, it depends on your goals. If you're a triathlete, you're going to have to clock that time. But me being the weight training person that I am, and on this webinar we're talking weight training, we're talking about shifting the body and the physique transformation, right? And so when we go in and we do cardio without weights, what happens is, look at that little runner up top on the left, the marathon runner. It strips the muscle off his body. But you see, it's supposed to, because he's logging a lot of miles. And you might be too. And if you are logging miles, what happens is the body goes, oh my gosh, she's got me on this machine again. I have to hang on to all my fat because that is my storage. And she just keeps going and going and going. And I have to drop this really heavy, taxing muscle because it's too much to move. So the body naturally starts to drop muscle, and it starts to conserve fat. So what happens is you become a muscle-losing, fat-gaining machine when you're doing cardio in absence of weight training. Now, if you're adding in weight training, you're going to negate that, but you still have to major in weight training. So you can't go into the gym and do cardio first and then do weights, because what you're doing is you're teaching your body that cardio rules, and usually you're too tired to do any kind of strength and any kind of length in your weight training programs. You should be doing, you know, at least 30 minutes with your weights. And if you're tying yourself out with cardio, then you need to switch it up. Here's the other deal. If you're using cardio for fat loss, don't do it first. Do it after your weight training. Because what happens is, if there's any food in your system, and generally there is throughout the day, then the body always has to get rid of that first before it goes to the fat. Remember, the body does not want to use up its fat stores because it's storage. It's survival. So it's going to use up the glucose or the glycogen, which is just glucose, carbs, that are stored in your organs, right? And so when you do weights first, you've got the energy, number one, to get through weights because you've got food in your system and you need to eat to lift. But after your weights, it's all used up. So your system is now empty. So when you step on that cardio machine, Now it can go right into the fat stores and liberate them and burn them off, right? So we switch it up is what we do. How much is okay? It depends on you. Honestly, I do as little as possible. We do MET training. We do some high voltage stuff when it comes to weight training as well. I will do cardio when it comes to competition. I don't do a lot because my metabolism's pretty strong. I eat pretty good. I eat a lot of food. And I've got my body up to a place where it can do that, and I'm pretty happy with that. But I will do it come show because show time is an extreme time, and we have to get down to sometimes like really low body fat, sometimes single digit, and you just can't do it without doing cardio. So we do have to throw it in. It's pretty painful. So what type of cardio? You guys need to shake it up. If you've always done treadmill, do Stairmaster. You've always done Stairmaster, do elliptical. The treadmill is the least effective because it's not even – running outside would be more effective because the treadmill is just a platform that falls away from the foot. You don't even have to push off like you do outside. So there's no plyometric involved. And so studies have shown that it is the least effective. But what I always say is shake it up. So you can go from one to another, and it's really important because you're keeping your body off guard. We do not want your body to get efficient. When it gets efficient is when it hums along and it goes, oh, I like this. I'm going to keep this fat on my body, and I'm going to keep this muscle at bay. I don't want too much. So when it becomes efficient, it becomes lazy. Your metabolism gets lazy. So you need to shake it up. And so that's where we shake up the different machines. We shake it up from long, slow distance where you're plodding along at a certain level and you're doing HIIT or sprints, right? You're going to sprint. See that guy up top, right? He sprints. And when you sprint, you can do less time on your cardio and you can burn more fat with sprinting, and science has shown that because you're sparing the muscle on your body. Look at the two bodies there, right? Look at the leanness of the marathon runner, his sport. Requires that. So his body is perfectly in tune with his sport. The guy on the right is a sprinter. What's he doing in his sprinting? He's doing weight training because he's powering through. He's exploding. He is going to heavy loads on every single sprint. So he is maintaining that muscle on his body. He has a way faster metabolism, and I would say the guy on the right is probably 9 to 10% body fat. The guy on the left is probably 18 to 20%, right? So you need to shake up the types of machines. If you use machines, you need to put it after your weight training. You need to minor in cardio, and you only need to do as much as you need to do. Don't overdo it. And so if you've got a little bit of weight to lose, you change your eating, you get into weight training, and you alter your cardio a little bit. If you pump it up too much, what's going to happen is, along with the marathon runner up there in the corner, and what I see with a lot of women in the gym is they get caught into a hamster wheel where they now cannot not do cardio, whether it be spin or running or whatever your aerobic is. They can't not do it because if they stop, they gain weight. And I see this all the time because you've trained your body to have to require that every time to keep the fat off. And this is a terrible, terrible place for women to get to. But I see it all the time. And then what happens is they drop their calories and drop their calories and drop their calories because they can't keep the fat off. And so they come into their 40s and 50s and say, I don't understand. My metabolism just shut off. It didn't. You lowered it by doing too much cardio, not doing your weight training, and you're cutting your calories all the time. So your metabolism's going, oh, my God, now I'm only getting 1,200 calories. Okay, boys, we've got to slow it down even more. Let that thyroid slow down, right? Let all of the internal processes slow down because she's beating me up with all this cardio and I got to survive, and we're not getting the food. So we're creating that. So we do have to eat to rev our metabolism. You can't do it all at once. Because if you just up your calories, it's going to, again, go on. So we have to bring it in slowly. So this is something that a good coach should be able to show you. And they should be able to understand the woman's body at 40 and 50 and 60, right? Forget what the machines say. It drives me crazy when women are in the gym and they go, oh, I've been on for 45 minutes. I burned 350 calories. How does that machine know? It doesn't. So metabolism and the ability to burn fat is so individual for women, and these are just marketing machines when they put that on there. So pH balance, sodium-potassium levels, genetics, bone structure, the amount of muscle to fat ratio, hydration levels, hormones, they all change with each individual woman. And they change too. They can change month to month or year to year as well. So that's really, really important that you don't look at the machine and go, okay, or don't reward yourself. I see this all the time. Women say, oh, it's okay. I burned 200 calories. I'm going to go get a latte or something. And I'm like, don't reward yourself with food. You're not a dog. What we need to do if we need to lose the fat is we need to stay in deficit. That's part of it, right? Really important. So just shut down that machine. You need to have 3 to 5 different workouts. What I mean by this is forget the whole body workout. And I see this a lot, women wanting to go into the gym and just train 3 days a week and do the whole body, and it'll be done. And what a nice, easy way to be able to train. It doesn't work that way. You've got 9 muscle groups. And so a double split is okay. That's where we usually split your body into upper and a lower. Triple split is better. Quadruple split is even better. So what a coach should do for you is to take you and split your body apart. If I've got 9 muscle groups to work and I'm doing a whole body workout, all I can do is get 2 to 3 sets on each muscle group, and that's going to take up an hour. But if I split you up into 3 different workouts or 4, sometimes I do 5 with my clients, then I can get more sets, which is more volume, which is more progress and results on those muscles. So we have a leg day that's just devoted to leg. And in fact, I now do quad days, quad and glutes, and hamstrings are on another day. We have a back day just devoted to back. So what we can do is we're still using shorter workouts, though. We don't have to be in there for an hour. We're using shorter workouts, 30 to 45 minutes, but I'm only working 1 to 3 muscle groups at a time, so I can really hammer in. So I can get the work done, and I see way more progress than a whole body workout or a double split workout, right? You need to prioritize your big movements first. So we go into this in a little bit of detail, but keep that in mind when you're doing weight training. Do your big moves first. So do your bench press first. Do your squat first. Do your deadlift first. Yes, you should be doing all 3 of those no matter what your age. You can do it. It just takes time to learn, ladies, but it is one of the best. They're the 3 main moves that are the best whole body strengtheners. And they add into flexibility, balance, and coordination, and they rev that metabolism like nothing else. But that's your power center, are those 3 moves, the deadlifts and the squat and the bench press. Okay, so please keep those in mind. And I've got women in my program in their early 70s, they're doing all 3. But they've learned their way into it, right? So it's really important. And then you go into the smaller isolating moves like the biceps and the triceps. That's not always the way we do it either. We change it up because there's reasons when we start with smaller ones and go to bigger moves. But that's more advanced training. Aim for 10 to 15 reps. This will also change as we progress. But when I say 10 to 15 reps, we generally don't go above that. Again, unless it's advanced training or pre-contest. And we might do 20 to 50 reps in a move, but that's really selective, and that's just not for the average person, and not unless you're in competition mode. 10 to 15 reps is kind of where you want to be because that's the shaping and the toning. And if you're able to do more than 15, you have to up your weight. It doesn't matter how much you're breathing hard or how much you're sweating. What it means is if you're near failure on that, then that is where your maximum lift is. That's where it's really important to write stuff down. You need to know what you can do in a shoulder press. So you don't come back every time and grab a weight and you don't know and you're wasting your time when you could be doing a 20-pound shoulder press, but, oh, I can't remember, I'm going to do 15. Okay, your time is precious, and you want to maximize your work in the gym. Make sure your program is progressive. Oh, my gosh, built for you, focusing on your goals, your areas of needed improvement, your limitations. Like I said, we all got something, right? But when I say progressive, what drives me crazy is women grabbing programs out of Oxygen Mag or Shape Mag, or they're going on the Internet and finding a program. There's no progression built in that. Guaranteed, the women that you see in those programs, they didn't get that body that way. And they're creating programs. I've known a lot of ghostwriters for these magazines, and that's what they do. They just pump out programs. But there's no progression in there. So you need to work with a program or a person or a coach where is progression month after month. That does not mean always lifting heavier weights, though. And especially at our age, there's all sorts of different ways to change it up. There is different training techniques. There's different splits. There's different rep schemes. There's drop sets and giant sets and pyramids and strip sets and all sorts of different ways. And this is what you need to progress. And 1 month should build on the next. And if you're with a coach, they should have you in a building phase, and then they should have you in a recovery phase, or we call it active recovery, where you're still training, but probably you're going into higher reps, more superset kind of stuff, because you got to go in hard, and then you got to step back. So 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. But that means you're always progressing with 2 steps forward. So it's really, really important, and I don't see enough of this in the gyms. And what I also see is women are paying exorbitant amounts of money for a trainer, anywhere from $50 to $75 an hour. And the trainer's job is also to sell our coaching. And I get that because it's still a business. But women don't want to go in that much to change up their programs because it's so expensive. So it's actually, that's one of the main reasons I created my online programs, so that we could do all the stuff we need to do, and you didn't have to pay that much money, and you could have a coach 24/7. Because it's insane to me, the gym model that I see. And that's one of the reasons that women are not getting the results, is because it's just too expensive, and the coaches are not trained in older women's bodies, and it's just not built for them and their goals. So change it up, but not too much. This is where I use the analogy of Michelangelo and his statue of David. He wouldn't have gone to the shoulder and start chiseling away and then go down to the knee and start chiseling away and then up to the head. You stay at the same place and you chisel and carve and carve and carve it to perfection. It's like water over stone, as I call it. This is the beauty of weight training, ladies. Is it boring? It is if you don't learn how to focus in or meditate while you're lifting, or if you're not envisioning your goals. I always try to say get your brain on board, but you really need to have that consistency in lifting. Carve, 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 carve. So when we're going in and we're doing 9 sets for arms, or we're doing 12 to 20 sets for legs, we're etching deep into the muscles. That's where the metabolism gets boosted. That's where the shape and the tone comes. That's where the skin starts to tighten. You have to stay with it and just dig in, okay? So that's the beauty of weight training that you simply do not get with any other kind of exercise regime. Number 4, work your glutes. Ladies, work your glutes. This is coming from somebody who never did. So when I talk working your glutes, I want you to use weights, not just body weight. We start with body weight stuff, okay? But your body is used to moving your body weight. So when we do step-ups, when we do lunges, when we do curtsies, when we do cable kickbacks, it's added weight. So you need to hold your dumbbells. You need to add stuff in. And you also need to make sure that you go down into full range of motion. What that means is you need to have that leg bent. See the picture of the lady in the squat? When she's got the barbell, see her legs, you have to have that 90-degree angle. Halfies don't work. This is why, if you think about it, the marathon runner, they don't have that 90-degree angle or more where their hip is below the knee. They have a gait, but you never see strong, rounded glutes on marathon runners because their gait is not big enough. When you see a sprinter, they're hammering, and those knees are coming high as they're powering through. That's when the glutes get activated. If you take the stairs 1 step at a time, you're not going to see awesome glutes. If you take them 2 steps at a time, any of you guys ever run stairs 2 at a time? Oh, my gosh, that's glutes in action. If you're stepping up onto a gym bench, which typically they're 21 inches high, when you step up on that bench, those glutes get activated. If you just step up on a low aerobic step, which is 6 inches up, it's not enough. So when you're working your glutes, ladies, you have to remember, if you're doing lunges, drop right down. That knee has to graze the ground. If you're doing squats, you need to get down to parallel. If you can't get there right away, you will. Use a body bar to start. Use a Smith machine. Have somebody coach you. Preferably have another woman coach you because, in my view, most men don't squat properly. I shouldn't say that, but that's just my humble opinion. I work mine and all of my girls twice a week. At this age, there's not enough once a week. So we generally work them 6 to 9 sets each workout, 12 to 15 reps. So that means if I'm lunging around the gym or I'm lunging outside on my driveway, I've got to, I use 25-pound dumbbells in each hand, but I suggest you start with 10 or 15. And I lunge, right leg, left leg, that's one rep. Right leg, left leg, that's two reps. So we're doing 12 to 15, and I'm doing probably 3 sets of walking lunges, 3 sets of step-ups, and 3 sets of something else like cable kickbacks or curtsies, or I've got a funky move on the hack machine where I can turn around and work glutes that way. Some TRX moves I can do as well. So you've got to make sure that you work them twice a week, 6 to 9 sets. You're going to love how it feels, believe me. Use full range of motion, as I mentioned, and squat. Yes, you can. Just work on it, ladies. Have somebody show you. Trust me, I didn't squat for 20-plus years, and it showed. Now that I'm squatting and now that I'm working my glutes in the last two and a half years, I've made huge progress. I have a booty, and it's strong and it's shapely, and I never had that before. And I started this at 52 years of age, but I work it consistently, and I work it with added weight. So if I can do it, having not smartened up earlier, then you guys can do it too. I know you can. Let's get real with your food, okay? Know what you're eating. Count it up. So this is what I say. All my girls hate this when they start on the 10-week challenge, but I get them all to start with counting. They need to count their calories, and then I want them to forget it. I just had a little flicker of my hydro here, so I'm hoping the hydro's not going to go out. I don't know what's going on. So if I lose you, I hope I don't. So you count it up because you need to know where you are. Most women that are holding extra weight don't want to count calories because they don't want to do the job. But when they do it, they're surprised. They think they're around 1,400 and they're generally 2,200 to 2,500. I just want you guys to know where you're at. And it's important to know where you're at. It's kind of like having a bank account. You can't go out and spend money without knowing what's in your bank account. This is what responsible adults do. They know what they've got. So I want you guys to count it out. And women are generally between, I don't know, 1,400 and 1,800. Some women are at 2,200. Bigger women, taller, bigger boned, get to eat more food. And us smaller women are always jealous of that. But I average between 1,400 and 1,800 calories, sometimes 2,200. But I don't get to eat more than that. I'm small boned. I'm only 5'2", and I just can't eat. But bigger women can. And so start learning what 3 to 4 ounces of chicken is or steak. And then you're going to learn portion size by eyeballing it, and then you don't have to do it. But you always have those tools in your brain when you need it. You can see what half a cup of rice is. You don't need a cup. Pasta, oh my God, I don't know how people can eat like 3 cups of pasta. That's like 1,500 calories. So when you start seeing really what a serving size is, it's then you really come into a place of empowerment and control, and it's really freeing. And I see all these women running around with all these apps and popping stuff in because they need to stay within a certain amount, and it's like, don't do it. Find where you're at and live around there. If you're around 1,400 calories, some days eat 12 when you're not moving so much. Some days eat 18. Don't always stay with the same because, again, your body is going to be lulled into being lazy and it's going to become efficient. We don't want that, right? Eat real food, guys. If you can't pick it or pluck it, hunt it or fish it, it's not real food. Doesn't mean we don't eat the other stuff. But people say, yeah, but bread's made from grains, but you don't find it that way in nature. So be careful with those foods. And there's enough info out there. I don't need to tell you this, right? But we can have our little treats now and again. I don't call them cheats because cheat meals have been taken way out of context, and it's just an excuse for people to have whatever they want. Cheat meals are really a tool that us competitors use when we plateau to help to get to single-digit body fat. But I honestly don't really bring cheat meals in unless we're at that place with a person or they've been really diligent with their eating, and I know they have been and they need a break. So please be careful with the cheat meal thing. No artificials, guys. They have no place in your body. They're chemicals. Sucralose is still an artificial, guys, okay? And it's just a whole marketing thing. It starts from a grain of sugar, but it's a chemically manipulated. It's an artificial. And I don't know why aspartame is still on the shelf. They should be throwing that out. But I can tell you, if you want to hold on to body fat, keep drinking Diet Pop. I've seen it time and time again. Studies have shown, doctors don't understand it, but I have seen it for decades in the gym. I had one lady, I finally got her off of Diet Coke. She was drinking like 3 or 4 a day. She came to me like a month later and said, I didn't believe you. I didn't want to tell you this. But in the first week, I dropped 2 pounds. And she said, I've lost 7 pounds in a month just from getting rid of the diet. There's something about it that keeps the fat on the body, guys, but it also keeps you hungry. It keeps that little gagger meter in your mouth that says, I want food going. You don't need it anyways. You don't need that crap in your body, okay? Real food rocks. Don't go low carb, low cal, low fat. Don't go low anything. Again, we go into this in my programs, but honestly, low carb is the and low calorie are the two things that are hurting women the most. Like I said, low calorie means that you have to keep lowering and lowering and lowering. And low carb is not going to help you change your physique. There may be days when you eat lower carbs. What's low carb? It's different for everybody. Low carb for me would be, I don't know, anywhere from 40 to 80 grams of carbs. High carb day for me is about 150 grams of carbs. If you know how to count carbs, and you know what I'm talking about, but not everybody wants to count carbs. But what it means is if you want to lighten the load, then just have protein and fibrous at your dinner. You know, have your broccoli or your salad with your protein. Don't have your rice or your potato. Don't have your potato chips. Don't have your wine. I'm sorry, but, you know, wine is a big, it's a big load. It is a simple carb. So I enjoy my wine. I can because I've learned how to manage it, but I do it on Friday and Saturday nights. I don't do it all the time. If I do, then I know I'm playing with it, and I know I'll probably gain a few pounds or not be able to lose those few pounds. Everything is about a compromise. And how you want to live. You just decide how you want to live, right? And we can always change the goalposts. This is about you guys finding where you want to live. So if a coach or a trainer or a program gives you a set menu plan or diet plan, run for the hills. It's okay to look at and to see and to get ideas, but do not live there. I'm telling you, it will ricochet on you, and it'll mess you up. The whole low-fat thing didn't work. I saw that like 20 years ago. And when you deny your body fat in food, and I'm talking real fat, not trans fats, you should always get rid of those, but the real fat, the lovely saturated fat in animal fat, the fat in egg yolk, the fat in butter, yes, I eat butter, the fat in real mayonnaise, when you don't have that, your body will hang on to fat because you're not feeding it. And what's it do? It will always hold on to what you're denying it. Calories, carbs. Water, you know, if you deny your body water, you retain water. How to get rid of water retention, you drink more water. That's the body's wisdom, and that's what we need to get back in tune with. And that's what the majority of the fitness and eating culture is missing out on. We're not being reminded of this. Find your emotional triggers, ladies, really, really key. There are emotional triggers, and usually food, overeating food, certain foods, takes the place of something else. If you can name it, then you've got half the battle licked. What I want you to do is be able to eat your chocolate cake with freedom and joy, not because you're frustrated because of lack of love, because you're broke, because your husband is working late, because your kid's pissing you off, whatever it happens to be. That's not how you use food. You need to see food as fuel. So what I say to that is it doesn't mean that it's all boring, that all I'm going to eat is dry chicken breast and steamed broccoli. Are you kidding me? I love food. Food is such a pleasure, but it's been demonized, and we have such a fear about it. We should not fear it, but we need to understand it. We need to respect it, but we need to enjoy it. So when I see food as fuel, what I mean is I have a great workout. I always start my day with a good breakfast. It's always oatmeal or steel cut with some protein in there like egg whites or dry curd and some healthy fat like almond butter, a big heaping tablespoon. And when I start my day that way, it sets me up because it's an awesome balanced breakfast, and it's also a fuel for my body. And then I train, and then I'm on course, you see. If I don't start that way, if I just have coffee, if I grab a muffin, I've messed up in the morning, and usually the rest of my day goes downhill. So I look at my first food, my first meal, as the most important, and that's always seen as fuel. All my food is fuel. When you guys train, you exercise, you do the work, you know that you're going to not want to mess it up with lousy food. Usually when one of those aspects goes, the other one goes in sync. If you're not training, your food goes to pot. If you're not eating well, your training goes to pot. They're kissing cousins. So you need to keep them both in check. They love to be together in a healthy way. So what you need to do is just start your day with one or the other. Either you train first thing, and some women do first thing in the morning. That's not for me, but some women do. Or start your day with a healthy breakfast. And see food as fuel. You don't want to mess up a great leg workout by going out and having a croissant. You might want to enjoy it in the day later, but you know you need your protein and you need your healthy carbs, not just a salad, especially leg day or back day. You need your potatoes. You need your rice. You need your oatmeal. You need that before and after your workout, 1 to 2 hours apart, or you will not be able to transform your physique. You will not be able to add shapely, sexy muscle or lose the fat. I see too many women working hard in the gym and all they're doing is eating salads and celery sticks, and it's just not enough fuel, okay? Let's forget the sports drinks and the protein bars. They are not what they say. You do not need them. They're just basically, think of it as a can of Coke and a Kit Kat chocolate bar next time you reach for either one, okay? That protein value in there is not great. We do not need sports drinks for our electrolytes. Even triathletes, they've shown, don't need them because the body has a natural way of managing its electrolyte, its sodium-potassium balances. These are just marketing things that are keeping us hooked in sugar and robbing our wallets, and it's also degrading our metabolism, all of that sugar and low-grade protein. So forget it. Let's not follow the masses. We talked about this, cheat meals, paleo, ketosis, if it fits your macros. This is where we kind of stand on the periphery. And I want you to always hold the reins a bit. So what I say is, this is the pleasure of doing what we do as female athletes, is we get to train and enjoy our bodies in new ways and build our immune system and our nervous system and our recovery system, because that's also what we're doing with weight training. It's more superior to build the immune system and the recovery system than it is with long-distance cardio, because that really breaks us down. And unfortunately, the women, the sickest women I see are the ones that are usually on a restricted vegetarian, dare I say vegan. I'm sorry if I offend any vegans out there, but usually it's not done properly, and it's usually an emotional choice. It's not for many people of the population at all, but it's become vogue. And unfortunately, a lot of those shortcomings won't show up for a couple years after. And there's a great book out called The Vegetarian Myth, and it's really eye-opening. She was a vegan for 20 years, and she goes into the politics of it, the science of it, and it is very, very good. So if you do want to embark on that path, please do yourself a favor and read The Vegetarian Myth, because you need to get informed, and it might help you in just making better choices as a vegan. Vegetarian as well, if you're not doing it properly. I see a lot of women with, you know, constantly getting colds and getting sick and getting the flu. And again, it has to be done properly, and not all bodies can do it. People say, what diet should I partake in? The one that fits your cultural background. So everybody's coming from somewhere. I'm Scottish and Irish and a little bit of Italian, although my mother doesn't talk about that. But honestly, it's a blending of I can eat meat, I can eat veggies, and it just comes from my cultural background and my husband's family. They're all Welsh. I'm telling you, you shouldn't be eating those body parts of sheep. But they do. They eat really weird food. And they eat high fat and gravies and butters, and they're living into their 80s and 90s. Who am I to argue with that? But again, that's their cultural makeup. So I want you guys to remember that when it comes to eating real food.
Karen, sorry, it's Teresa. Can I pop in for a minute?
Yeah, you sure can.
I just thought, you know, I think we only booked this webinar for an hour and a half.
Okay.
And it's now 8:10, so it may cut off right at 8:30, so I wanted
okay,
to
I will,
see if
okay,
you can get through the slides and questions.
I will move through. Okay, here, you guys, is the food pyramid. So a lot of you guys have this. If you don't have this, I think I've got it in the ebook. I will send this out to you, and I will also send out what we have in this little handout as well, because it's really important. Protein, ladies, you need to get your protein in. Ensure you're getting 80 to 100 grams a day. It's not the protein weight, it's the value of the protein. So let's get on board with protein values. Most women think they're getting enough, and most women simply are not. A chicken breast and half a cup of yogurt is not enough, okay? And please be careful of soy. Soy as a protein source is dangerous because It blocks, it has goitrogens in it that block the uptake of iodine to the thyroid. So we have more soy in our diet than ever, and we have a lot of thyroid issues. And so we need to be aware of that, okay? Let's get your brain on board. This is really important. This is where we start going into the inner world. I want you guys to start focusing in. Turn off the shopping list in your head. When you're in the gym, I want you guys to focus on the work. Don't train and go, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, blah, blah, blah. Because the energy is being splayed. You need to focus in on your training and what you're doing. It's really, really important. I want you to make every set and rep a work of art. Okay, so when you're in there, you're training and you're focusing, and you're not looking at all the sets you have to do ahead of you. You're focusing on the one you have, and you want to be spent at the end of that, and then you have your breath, and then you do it again. Do not save up your strength, okay? Like we say, you want to leave it all in the gym floor. And this is at any age. As you start, you're going to start lighter, of course, but you're going to be able to build up to that level in a few short months. And then you're going to be able to build the pounds up as well. And that's really important because that's your progression, right? And so please focus in. And I see those little pictures down there. I went on to Pinterest. I love Pinterest because it's so pretty and there's so many neat things. But it's all about the six-pack. And so women, again, have fallen into the six-pack thing where we look at trying to get that six-pack back in our 40s and 50s. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen my six-pack in years. I mean, I only see it when I go into contests. My body just doesn't go there, and I know it's there, but if I'm carrying even 5 pounds, I don't see it because that's where I carry my weight. So please keep that in mind. We are still up against a young culture, and a lot of the social media is focused on the young culture. And there's more and more being catered to in our age groups. It's coming. But I see a lot of women beating themselves up over this. Challenge your beliefs. It's really important that you start looking at that little internal voice of yours. Women who, they don't understand that beliefs are not ingrained in the sand. They're supposed to change with time. Values don't change, but beliefs do. We used to believe in the tooth fairy, and we don't anymore, right? We're supposed to progress and mature with our beliefs. So I also want you guys to understand most beliefs are hand-me-downs. And they keep us safe and towing the party line. But when I had one lady who, she was losing weight on my program, doing really, really well, and she confessed to me, she woke up in the middle of the night, sat bolt upright in bed. She was sweating, and she said, oh, my God, I must be sick. I must have cancer. And she said she thought that because she didn't think that she would be able to lose weight on her own. And I thought, wow. I mean, it was really a good epiphany for her to come to that place, but it was also really, it was enlightening. And there's so many women that say, I don't deserve this. We're all big in our family. I'm going to fail again. You have to start looking at that internal dialogue and clicking into your power. Number 9, think and live outside the box, okay? This is where you change your story, change your life. Don't look at it as, oh, I got to do this. I can't stand this. I hate training. I hate exercise. If you do, don't do it. Just don't do it until you can change your mindset. Again, like I say, this is about loving yourself into health. This is about saying, I can eat tuna for breakfast. I can eat eggs for dinner. Who cares? In our household, we have very small dinners. In fact, it's more snacks. My biggest meal is breakfast and then my meal after my workout. And we just snack for dinner. And that's okay, too. So we all have our own way to create. So it's all about standing conventional thought on its head. I don't even do protein shakes. And when it comes to pre-contest, I might put it in just because it's time, like my digestion is not as good because you're like working so hard. But I'm really not a big shake eater. I'm about whole foods. And so, again, the whole marketing thing has taken us away. Please don't think that aging is inevitable. Middle age spread, all that kind of stuff, achy joints, it's not. We can get it back. How much can we get back? I don't know. I mean, it depends on you and genetics and individuality, but I'm telling you, you can get it back, and you can come back to a place of incredible improved health, individual for each of you, but it does take consistency. It really does. And just know that 50 is not the new 30. 50 is the new 50. I hate that saying 50 is a new 30. No, I'm 50 plus, and I'm going to enjoy it. the law of attraction, won't get into that here, but you guys know that you are creating every single moment of the day. And in all my programs, we always tend heavily to the spiritual because we are three-dimensional people. We got to do body, mind, and spirit. It's not just an acronym that we say to ourselves. It really is a place that we have to live. And so notice if you're creating negative or if you're creating positive. Or if you're creating by default, which just means you're just waking up every day and waiting for life to happen to you. It doesn't work that way. You're always creating. You are steering it, whether you know it or not. And we need to grab hold of that awesome power. And I think that is it. Some of you guys just came off the 10-week Best Shape Challenge. I've got that in there. It starts January 8th. That's where I lead you through week to week. It's a really great program. I love it. And sign-up has begun, actually. It started earlier this year. And then the Power Up Coaching Program is something in January. That's my new program, one-on-one programming. And it's training, lifestyle, and, again, the spiritual for women. And it's actually not for competitors, but if you want to compete, that's great. But it is for women wanting to have a coach and accountability and taking their physique to an awesome level. So I'm really, really excited about that program. I think it's going to be very cool. Okay, so now let me see if I know how to do this. I go to conference. And now what I'm going to do is ask you guys if you have any questions to, let me see if I go to the Q&A if there's any in there. I'll come back to that. If you have any questions, I would like you to do star 2. And what that does is it just creates a little hand raise over here. And I can see your hand raise, a little flag, and then I can unmute you. Is there anybody that has a question? If you do, please push star 2 to raise the little hand. Any questions? Really? I taught you everything I know? That's pretty cool. Okay. Let me see. I'm going to go to the Q&A then and see if there's any questions there. So there are some people that are listening remotely that I don't get to see on here. And so I'm just taking down some of these. Let me see if I go to the Q&A. So I go to see all questions incoming. I've cut out again. Would it be possible to receive the slides from your talk tonight? Yes, absolutely. I can receive that. Kathy, no questions, just interested in the webinar. Thank you, Kathy. That's so sweet. Audio has gone. Somebody said the audio is gone at 1 hour, 5 minutes. Can't hear anything. You've cut out again. Oh, I don't know about that. Okay. Can you guys still hear me? I'm going to unmute you and just see if you can hear me.
I can hear you, Karen.
Yeah.
Kathy, can you hear me? I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is Kathy, and I can hear you.
Okay, good.
This is Margaret, and I can hear you.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good.
Not a long
time. Yes?
Oh.
Very cool. I don't see any questions on the Q&A unless I'm not getting it right. I did have somebody ask for the slides. I will certainly send this little slide out. I've also... I'm recording this, so I'm going to send the recording out as well. I can, I'll put it out on the, I'm not sure, Teresa, where we're going to put it out, the Facebook page. I'll put it out in my blog as well, and if you guys want to share it with anybody, as well as the slides. And, of course, we're going to get the e-book to you, right, Teresa? How's that going to work?
Well, we'll probably send it as an email attachment.
Okay, so the ladies that are on the call here, you have their emails then, I'm assuming. Is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's got their emails? Okay, cool. Well, guys, thank you so much. This is actually my first webinar with a lot of assistance from Teresa, so I do thank you for that. And I hope it was worthwhile. And, yeah, thank you for coming. And I will send out the slides. I will send out the e-book to you guys. And keep on keeping on. If you have any questions along the way, please email me. I'm always here. I always say I have no life. I'm at Karen@McCoyFitness.ca, and you can email me and ask me any questions. I know I covered a lot in this webinar, but it really there's so much more we can cover. But it really is getting back to basics, and it really is just about confirming to yourself what you want and then just kind of taking the reins and guiding yourself, trying to find a good program, good coach. Of course, I have my online programs that I've been running for many years as well. It works for some women. It's just another gym. It's another model outside the gym model that's working extremely well, and I'm really happy about that. But do email me with any questions if you have any. In the meantime, thank you again so much for giving up your evening with me. I know it's a very busy time, and Merry Christmas to you all.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Take care. Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Karen.
Hello, darling.
Still there. Did you stop the recording?